fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum. Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish.
Hey, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the first official episode of Catch It, Cook It, Eat It. My name is Ben Sargent, and this is a show about fishing the New York waterways, surviving on what you catch and what you eat. Forecast summary real quick. Tuesday, October 13th, the wind is south early, becoming west 13 to 18 knots with higher gusts. Air temperature 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Water temp 64 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit. We're talking today about the East River, and I have with me three of the most experienced fishermen that I could find. First, let me introduce you guys to John Ruffino, who is the, we're calling him member 033 of the Fishing Derby. He is officially out in the lead with a 40-inch striped bass. We have with us as well Greg, who is the owner of Eden Pizzeria. It is on, what is it, North 7th Street?
North 7th Street.
And Bedford, you guys
right
are
off
probably...
Bedford.
Right? Had
it's,
some pizza
it's known
there?
For its knives and
oh, yeah.
other novelties that are available.
Badass knives.
Badass knives, I'm sorry.
And affordable pizza, right?
Of course. Dial okay. 25 slice all day, every day.
Awesome. And we're here with Robert as well, who I'm sure a lot of you have met at one point or another if you've ever stepped into Dream Fishing Tackle on Manhattan Avenue. All right. First off, let me just ask you guys, let's talk about regulations real quick. I know they've issued a fishing license recently, first ever in New York for salt water. How do we feel about that?
Don't like it.
Don't like it.
Just no.
Go ahead. No.
Go ahead, John. You shoot.
It's your restaurant. I want you to go first. Shoot it first. I got the anchor.
Yeah, what it comes down to, I thought of something the other day. The best way to do it. Whoever has a fishing license gets one vote, right? And what it is everybody should vote collectively, the fishermen, the people who actually fish, who take the fish, because it's one of those things, I mean, they're just getting ridiculous now. You know, everybody knows about the new keeper size for the fluke. I mean, and the thing is that, you know, the same fish are in the Northeast. They share the waters. You know, New Jersey doesn't have anywhere near the limits that New York has.
Mm-hmm.
So in New Jersey, they take all the fish. In New York, everybody kind of gets jerked. You know, if they're going to do it across the board.
So have you guys gotten licenses at this point?
I don't have a license. When I throw my pole, it's not going to be mine. That's that guy. He just let me throw it because I'm not going to pay $10. Not going to pay no money. And, you know, I think it's unfair because now it pushes out all the bums. I mean, you know, I like everyone. The bums are going to be feeling this,
right?
Because they want $10 to buy food or beer or whatever. You know what I mean? It's going to mess up them. Mm-hmm. As far as fishing, it's like elimination to the fishing game. Right. And then they keep tabs on you, the government, you know, and for a lousy fish. You don't even get a fish to keep it the whole year. This whole year sucked.
Right.
And they want to pay $10 and I didn't even catch one? What, I caught a 40-pound, 40-inch, 22,
Tell us about your bass real quick, John.
Oh, that thing was, I was talking to my friend right next to my pole. It went down like two times, but it was so gentle. And next thing you know, I says, let me grab it. As soon as I bend down, it bent down with me. It smacked me right in the chest. And it took me 12 minutes to bring this 40-pound, 40-inch, 22 around the girth striped bass out of the East River. And I tell you, that's the biggest fish that came out for a long time in this part of the woods. You know what I mean?
Secret spot? Or can you tell us where you caught him?
No, Gantry Pier, 50th Avenue in Long Island City. It's the only pier you can fish on. I like it because it's local and I don't have to take the train and go all over and lug my shit. It's just convenient and then they're there. You know what I mean?
Robert, I guess you guys don't get it. $10 is, that's not what it's all about. You just don't realize that October 1st, saltwater fishing in New York City became a privilege.
Right.
It's written on a piece of green piece of paper, and you pay $10 for a privilege. That means this privilege can be taken away from them, from you guys. You don't even realize that.
They couldn't
revoke your privilege to fish in saltwater. They could do it with the freshwater.
You don't carry them, right? In your store?
No, I don't.
So if someone goes looking for a fishing license...
Yeah, I tell them to go to the post office because it's also not good for your finances. If you do, the post office already running a deficit. So if they lose another billion, it's good.
So I
want to be profitable. That's why I don't do licenses.
So
the state pays me a quarter, screw them.
Rob, you're telling me that they're going to tell me I can't fish?
No, you can't.
My privilege is going to be taken away.
Listen, if you're a bad boy, the privilege is taken away from you.
And who's that?
They have you in the computer.
How do I be a bad boy?
Listen, you catch two fish an inch shorter or inch longer, whatever.
Right.
You litter when you're fishing.
Right.
They'll give you, they say, okay, you fish this type of fishing, let's say fly fishing is allowed, you fish with bait, and they say, sorry guys, we have to... I have an example in my shop. I mean, there's many, many guys were fishing, and for whatever reason, they didn't follow the regulations.
Now, is it a ticket they're going to write you?
Yeah, they're going to write you a ticket, but they can also revoke your license.
I heard it was $200.
It's like fishing license is becoming like a driver license.
Right.
Which can be revoked at any
moment. So they can trace you now.
Exactly, because it's attached to the number.
Mm-hmm. Right. The government. I was saying before.
Real quick.
It's a tab.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of the fishing regulation, you know what it is? It's just one more extension, an example of how the government just keeps growing and growing in the United States, and no citizen agrees with what's going on, yet nothing happens. They just keep rolling. The snowball keeps going.
It's not only that. They want us to fish where they want us to fish, and we can't fish where we want to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, besides, they're opening up one pier. They show it on TV.
Yeah, there's no access.
We're providing access to the people.
In the meantime,
they're closing at 20 miles... longer shoreline.
Ten piers in Brooklyn on the East River?
Yeah.
If that many?
Yeah. If that many, doubt it.
The day that I opened
I
up the Derby, the day the Derby
zero.
Officially opened, they not only issued the fishing license, right, but they closed the pier on North 5th Street.
That's correct.
So now...
I heard from a reliable source. His name is Walter, good friend of mine.
Yeah.
He was the witness of my fish on Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Right.
But anyway, he told me that the reason why they closed down 5th Street is because they're making it dirty and yucky. That's what a pier is for. It's not for you to go out there and look at the city for a quick second.
Do your fingernails?
Right.
Yeah.
And then leave.
Right.
It's there for fishermen to fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a pier is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not... Now, their argument why they closed it is because we make it yucky, we clean, it's a state park, they should have maintenance to clean it so it shouldn't be yucky. So that's on maintenance fault.
Right.
But now they want to kick us out because we make it disgusting and they don't like looking at us because they live right across the street. Dude, I fish at the gantry. There's only one building in downtown 5th or whatever that over there. There's about 10 big skyrocketed condos, condominiums, you name it. It's right here in front of you. They don't complain. They don't have a right.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell or who they know or what person made that complaint because it's an inside thing. And now they're saying, oh, we're going to develop.
Right. So
that develops
just
bullshit.
For the people who don't know, basically, they built this beautiful pier on the end of North 5th Street between the, you know, new skyrise.
And the pier's never open, just for the record.
And
ever.
And it's never open.
You know.
So what's the point?
Right.
Oh, by the way, if you guys want to get in or go fishing there at night, look for the security guard named Earl. Tell him, you know, Greg. Just don't let that get out of the small listener base that's here.
Okay. Robert, have you seen things change in the time that you've been in the area?
Oh, yeah. I mean, years ago, I remember when I was starting out the business about 17 years ago. I mean, there was access all over the place, India Street. People were free to go pretty much everywhere to fish. Nobody bothered them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they after them big time, you know. You know better than anybody else. I've been harassed on North 8 all the time.
Right? Yeah, you get harassed now. You can't, I mean, yeah, it's gotten pretty bad.
You can't even have a camera, right?
Can't have a camera. And no, I think somehow they think we're loosely, you know, attached to Al-Qaeda or something.
Yeah.
The Taliban, because
it's a new kind of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda with a fishing rod.
With the fishing rod. We have dynamite in our fishing rods.
This is me, John, again. Yeah. Just get the voice right when you hear it. I'll tell you this. You know what's funny? That people say, and I just wanted to bring this up, changing the whole conflict. People say the water's dirty. Oh, do you eat that fish? And I say, well, it's the same fish that you would eat running through here. It's not like they live there. These fish don't just chill and live here and stick around and wait. They're moving. They're constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where these fish come from, they're the same fish that you would catch. The same guys in Jamaica Bay or Sheepshead, you know, commercial boatmen's bring to the big place, because everyone's bringing it to the same place, and then that's bringing it all the way to the markets and everything. It's the same thing. Pollution, PCP pollution from mercury, you're going to have that 2 hours out in an international water.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? You know, it makes no difference. The water's
so
clean.
You're saying
cleaner than it used to be fish, to about 10, 20 years ago.
A fish that we might have gotten up at the Fulton Fish Market for however much. You're
right,
40
$7.99 a pound?
Mm-hmm. And that is very well the same fish that went up the East River and then back out to...
Absolutely. They do not stop.
Right.
There are stragglers that get caught up. They have to hide sometimes from bluefish.
Mm-hmm.
So they get caught up hiding, and they get scared. And they
but those aren't
leave.
Keepers. Those are the small ones anyway, so it's irrelevant. You're not supposed to keep them.
But what about a monkfish or something that's more on the bottom?
There's no monkfish in the East River.
I've seen one.
One or two here and there.
Well, what about...
The monkfish is what you're talking about is in the same species of the toadfish.
Yeah.
That's the toadfish is what we call it on the pier.
The ugly fish?
The hacklehead.
The hacklehead.
It's a green toad look with a catfish body, big mouth, teeth, and has poisonous spines on the dolphin.
But are those permanent residents of the East River? Should you?
Of course. I mean, they're all over the place like cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
You go down to Jamaica Bay, there's way more with the spider crabs now. Mm. I haven't seen a spider crab in the East River. I don't think they come this far. Or make it, because they get slammed around. But I don't know. But I know.
I've caught a million of those spider crabs.
I hate those spider crabs. Those spider crabs are the worst.
So when you guys, crabs in general, when you pull up a crab, that's an annoyance, right? Because you're not going after a crab.
No.
Not really.
But, you know, I like when the crab bites my Excuse my French.
That's all right.
You take you take the blue
claws.
Because
they make all the, you know, they're biting it. And a little bit of chum is, you know, flying around. Give it the essence of whatever, the bunker, or my clam, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if a big bass comes along, that crab has no chance. I don't care how big that effing... That crab, there's no big crabs like a friggin' king crab in Alaska. We're talking about blue claw. They get big, but a bluefish would just, like, ram him, crush him, eat him, and take that bunker. You know what I'm saying?
Everything all in one bite.
Everything in one bite.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't like... I mean, if there's no fish, like my man over here said, it's an annoyance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of no fish, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about the concept of overfishing? Is that a commercial problem, or is that something that should come down on us guys, recreational fishermen?
Well, that's one thing that I've done a lot of extensive reading on, just coincidentally, but they've done a lot of different studies regarding the fish take from commercial compared to recreational fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you're talking maybe less than 5% of all the fish taken are by recreational, and the other 95% plus is commercial. And what a lot of people don't realize is that all the data that all these regulatory agencies get are given voluntarily by the commercial fishermen themselves, the companies, the boats, etc., the industry as a whole. And what the industry does is they fudge the numbers accordingly to make sure that the government agencies don't lower the limits as far as how many they can keep or raise the size.
What's the size limit right now on bass and bluefish? Do you know?
28 inch striped bass, bluefish. There's no limit on size, but you can only take 10 per day per person.
10 per day. Okay, so you can catch a lot of bluefish, but bass 28. That's pretty big. It's a big fish.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, and well, let's turn this one to Robert. Robert, do you believe in those restrictions on the commercial fishermen?
I agree with Greg 100%. I mean, this is all commercial fishermen is fishing out most of the fish. Recreational fishermen, I don't think does any significant damage whatsoever. So
not a dent, not even.
I guess they want us to fish by fishing tackle, but they don't want us to keep any fish. It's like a radar detector in New York. You can buy a radar detector, you can't use it. You know, it's a wonderful idea. You know, in fishing tackle industry, there's a lot of talk. It's just talk about no access, our major problem, no access to the water. What do they do about it? They don't do anything.
That's true. Yeah.
They just talk, empty talk.
We talk about it every day.
All right, guys, we're going to have to take a quick break. Thank you so much for being here. Johnny is psyched to be here and talking up the storm.
Johnny Hicker in the house!
Guys, we are back with the first ever episode of Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. And this episode is brought to you by Hearst Ranch, which is grass-fed cattle.
It's good stuff.
Not as good as the fish we catch, but cattle's a good runner-up. We're talking equipment right now. At the break, we had a quick second to talk about what to use and what not to use. Robert, what are you suggesting in the way of bait these days?
One of the most popular effective baits to use in East River, it's bunker.
Bunker. Yeah, is what? Explain what bunker is to people.
It's a bait.
You got me.
You got me. It's a fish.
It's Manhattan, right? That's a proper name, I think.
You know what a bunker is? I'll tell you what a bunker is because... I love bunker.
Okay.
Thank you, Johnny. Johnny's gonna give the recipe on how to eat bunker soon.
Johnny's the anchor.
First of all, how big is it?
Okay, they can grow maybe 10
inches.
Yeah, maybe a little more. More than that.
John's
more than that. A little bigger. I mean, they grow.
John's bunker is 10 inch.
I mean, you know, they can get pretty big.
Females have told him his bunker is very large.
But bunker, bunker is a saturated oil with the blood type oil fish with a lot of little bones. Mm-hmm. Couldn't eat that. I don't care if you just let a bunker sit in the soup. You know, and not even, you know what I mean? The mercury level in there, except Chinese and Korean have eaten bunker.
I know that for a fact.
I bet they did.
They say it's not very good.
It's an oily. I mean, it would make you sick. It would really make you sick. I mean, you definitely got food poisoning.
All right, so you got the bunker, and how do you bait the? Basically, I don't know. I mean, I've done it wrong. You've corrected me out on the pier, but how do you cut up a bunker?
Okay. Well, my man over here filleted in front of me, and I walk and I go, what the hell? That's a nice fillet cut.
But you filleted the bunker?
Yes, he did.
He's talking about the host of Catch a Cook and Eat It.
Oh, I wish I would have been there.
He filleted this fish on the top, and all I seen was the bottom of the bunker with the bone still, upper bone. Yeah. I'm like, this guy never fished in the East River. So I grabbed another bunker, and you cut it at the nip of the tail. And you know, I like to use a number 10 octopus. Because I like my pieces like to be maybe three inches, 4 inches maybe.
Okay.
You know, from the first cut of the tail. That tail cut, I cut off, and that first cut is like about 4 inches. Mm. You know what I mean? And I throw that on there right through the torso. Boom, all the way through. That's it. You cast it out there with a number 6 in the right gear.
Yeah.
You know, Rob can help you out with that over there at the tackle place. And you
again,
and,
Dream Tackle always.
Yeah, Dream Tackle. Dream Tackle, yeah, so, always. That's the place where he'll give you a good deal.
So just so those people, you know, who are walking down Manhattan Avenue aren't terrified.
You cut it in big chunks, you know, chunks. Yeah. Whatever your hook is.
And you kiss it for good luck before you throw it in.
You ain't gonna throw a 4-inch bunker piece on a number 4 or 5.
What did you catch your bass on?
Number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10, octopus. For
people who don't know, 10-0.
How do you say it? Okay.
Gamagatsu.
Gamagatsu.
Gamagatsu. You know what I mean? That's what I roll with.
Or owner.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, now tell me about clams.
Clams? They're no good on the river. Clams work throughout the year. They like to switch up. They really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, even bluefish, I've seen them change up from not hitting bunker to hitting the clam. You know, it's depending on per fish, what's his agenda? Is he starving?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he good? Because if he's good, he's going to stay with the bunker pretty much. He likes to change up too. I mean, bunker is a very high protein, you know, get a lot of nutrients from it. A clam is a snack that also has a lot of fat, where they like to build that fat and get mass. You know?
I'm from Massachusetts, where we use squid. How come you guys don't use a lot of squid around here?
Because squid don't come around here.
Ah,
only on certain parts of the South Shore do they get an actual squid.
So Canarsie Pier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you'll get bonito in Canarsie Pier.
Yeah, South Shore fishing is completely unique compared to North Shore fishing in New York. It's like night and day. South Shore, you can get sharks, you can get tuna. Everything under the sun, borderline any time of year. Mm. I mean, you have, you know, better times and worse times, but North Shore, nobody catches a shark, you know? Right. Nobody really catches tuna either.
Mm-hmm. Robert, what's your take on equipment in terms of rods and reels? Is there something you feel is the go-to?
Yeah, well, keep it simple.
Tell them what they
7 to 9 feet rod.
Right. Tell
except they, John, he likes to use 12-footers.
12-footers.
And big dive whips.
Some people need bigger equipment than others.
Yeah, that's right.
But tell them what they need on the East River.
Yeah, like all the people are equal, those at Polybura are more equal than others.
John brings a harpoon occasionally.
And if I was to walk into the shop and I don't know a whole lot about fishing, what would you give me as my first rig, first setup?
7 to 9 feet rod, sturdy, like rated 10 to 25 pound test line, two-piece, easy to carry around. If you're looking to buy reels, go with the brand names, Japanese, like Shimano and Daiwa. Those are two good, very good choices.
Shimano.
Line, you don't want to exaggerate. I mean, you don't want to go really too heavy,
right?
20 pound test line. 5 ounce sinkers, 5 to 6 ounce sinkers.
What do you say about Abba Garcia? Tell that one again, real quick.
Now, what about the European?
I can't give people too many choices.
What about the European equipment? Do you?
Fishing East River, not really. There's long rods, European long rods found a little niche in market in U.S. Mm-hmm. But those rods to fish Montauk and beach surfing, stuff like that.
Rob's a carp fisherman.
Not around here.
Yeah, so
he's a carp man.
Rob,
he loves the big fight of the
Tell us about carp fishing. That's something we're not going to find in the East River, but what's your experience with that?
Oh, well, carp fishing I like because I have... personally, why I like it, because it's I have a certain control over I can really influence my catch. I mean, whether I can catch, I can predict. It's not like lottery. I know that I go, I chum for a certain amount of time, I throw food in the water and throw the fish, and the outcome. I know already the outcome. I'm going to catch the fish.
Do you release them or do you eat them?
Yeah, I release all of them. Okay. 100%.
But people eat carp.
Yes, they do. Sure.
It's a good eating fish.
I live in Greenpoint. You're in Greenpoint. I've seen people with carp. Is that right?
A lot of Polish people are doing carp.
Right?
Yeah. All the Eastern Europeans, they love carp fishing.
Isn't it a Christmas fish?
Yes, for in Catholic religion, Christian religion, and...
I've read stories about carp that you know.
It's a tradition to have one meal.
Right.
You leave a carp out instead of cookies for Santa Claus.
And I'm switching gears for a second here, but there's a lot of guys that you see down on the river who are obviously keeping fish. Do you think it's at all possible to live on the fish that you catch?
Absolutely.
You think you can catch enough fish to live on in New York?
Yes.
If you know what you're doing, 100%. I mean, you have to be bad not to be able to.
I fish a lot. I fish mostly every day. Mm-hmm. I'm a diehard fisherman. You know what I mean? I'm John Ruffino. I'm a diehard fisherman. You know what I mean? And I can tell you this. There's a lot of guys, you know, everywhere I go, they're going to bring that illegal fish that's worth to them about 20 inches, maybe anything over 20 inches, they're gonna try to tuck away. Okay. You know, I mean, because the economy is very rough.
Right.
And don't forget about the economy, because the economy is really what it is right now. I mean, it's making people run to go get a pole. Amateurs were, you know. I have leniency on amateurs, but when they have a cockiness about them,
you didn't have leniency on me when I was out there.
No, you was mad cool. That's what I mean. That's what I was gonna just switch to. I hate people that just want to just keep crossing and crossing, and then get an attitude about like don't tell me. Mm. I'll be happy in a very cool friendship type family, because that's what we do down here. We're like this big family.
Do you give your fish to people that want them to keep?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I give all my fish. Even when I went on the Brooklyn Six 3 weeks ago, I took to the pier two big giant potato sack bags lined with plastic so it wouldn't drip on me, of mad bluefish and two bonito.
He was like Borat on the train, you know, but instead of a chicken, it was fish.
Guys, and I'm hiding in, you know, I got him on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I got this big beard and hair and I'm hiding behind it, and they're like, "What the f? Excuse me. What the hell is this coming up the pier?" Yeah. And then I show my face, and they're laughing. And I dump all the fish out, and I give the two bonito and my friend Rob. My friend, the biggest fish.
Right.
You know what I mean? And everyone grabbed, and everyone.
Because I mean, do you find I've been out? You know,
Stan was there.
You know, on the way to the Rockaways, you have basically every nationality fishing the same bridge.
Yes.
Everybody knows how to do something different with each variety of fish, right?
Yes.
So, one guy wants the smaller, you know, bait fish, while another guy knows what to do with the, you know.
You know, even some guys that taught me a lot on far as, like, gear and stuff, you know. I tell you this. Damn, I just got a brain relapse, ADD acting up. No, but I've taught guys who use a five all the time.
Yeah,
and they're smarter than me. I'll keep it real. There's a lot of brothers on there that are very smarter than me. But I'm smart back on another tip, smarter than them. Mm. And I got people off five going to bigger hooks.
Let's talk about that. When I first saw you cast with, I mean, seriously, a gigantic head, sloppy, disgusting head of a fish on a hook that's like big enough to catch a tuna. Is that, I mean, How does that work?
Okay.
That's really to keep people away from you on the pier.
Yeah, well, it works. Scares them. It's terrifying.
You know, nobody near me because I cast with a giant hook, and if it catches you, you're going to be in trouble.
But is the idea bigger bait, bigger hook, bigger fish?
Absolutely. That is 100% true.
Explain how that works.
All right, what it is this, and they've tried this extensively. The idea is that it's all about efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll give an example. In nature, you know, you're not going to see an animal go after, you know, 50 smaller things because it wastes their energy. Okay. Same with fish. So what they're going to do is they're going to go for the bigger meal, especially if it's dead, it's floating. Most fish, people don't realize this, most fish are scavengers. They don't actually go out and go looking for live prey. They pretty much take what's available. Crabs swimming by, there's some stuff on the bottom. And what
leftover
it is that...
Leftovers from McDonald's.
Yeah, right?
So they got to build up.
French fries, floating French fries.
No, they got to build up. They got to build up all that. You know what I mean? They got to build up their fat and their size. They got to fill up. They're not picky. Right.
But they go for the fewer, larger meals as opposed to many smaller meals. And, I mean, anybody who's been fishing for, you know, more than 5 years consistently, they'll tell you the same thing. The bigger, the better, the more fish you're going to catch. As far as quality is concerned.
Bigger, better. Got it. All right, real quick, we're going to have to wrap up. But words of advice for new fishermen.
New fishermen.
If you go to the gantry, my name is John, you know, John Ruffino. You can come up to me, ask me anything. I'm the guy with the beard and the crazy look in his eye and the long hair, and I'm loud, but I'm cool. You can come up to me. I'll show you for free. I'll show you for free how to do it. What's the law? What's everything? You know what I mean?
Perfect. Great.
Stop by Dream Tackle anytime. You know, just shoot the shit with everybody. You'll find out a lot of tips.
Pick up a slice of Eden pizza on the way.
Sure. And one more thing real quick I want to say is there's two very good spots. You can fish them anytime, 24 hours a day. No cops are going to come. You're not going to get bothered, you know, as far as it being late at night, especially when the high tide's at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Great striped bass fishing. South 10th Street and Kent Avenue. You just walk down there. It's behind the condos. Again, nobody's going to bother you. No problem. Also, I don't know what the pier is called, but it's right next to the River Cafe. Go there anytime.
Dumbo?
No problem.
Brooklyn Bridge.
That's the one where, what's that movie with, oh man, I forget the actor's name. Two for the Money? The one where he's like the sports guy for the bettors or whatever.
Know.
Near where that was filmed. But River Cafe right next to it.
Robert, if the government doesn't stop us, give us a little bit of, you know, first man going out fishing first time.
We can't give up, you know, we got to stay at it, you know. But to give a little bit more positive spin to all this talk, you know, Lena, it's a name of the river in Russia, in Siberia. So if you can't take the here, you can always go there. Plenty of access to the water.
If you can't handle New York, go to Russia. Thank you so much. Well, basically, you've just heard three of the best fishermen in New York City on another episode, actually first ever episode of Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It.
John Ruffino.
Who can you call? M-I-A. I'm organic.
When is freedom without a river swim? When we go fishing, we catch in the brim. When the river's on, we jump off the bridge. When we get home, we play some deep. When it's freedom, we go to river and swim. When we go fishing, we catch in the brim. When the river's on, we jump off the bridge. When we get home, we play some deep.